Blog Talk Radio.
Monet 11 foot.
Whoa!
It's Gia.
Another day.
Dabadini.
I take your pain away.
Come, come, come.
Some people talk about you like they know all about you. When you get down, they doubt you. And when you dip it on the scene, yeah, they talking about it. Cause they can't tip on the scene what you talk about it.
Of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet you once again on a Monday night with Conscious Black Nation. In our greeting words of peace, we say it in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, dear brother. Thank you. And welcome back live, Brother Kareem, to Conscious Black Nation. I know it has been a kind of quiet weekend for nation building, but we just had to take a break, so I hope you enjoyed the rebroadcast over the weekend, but we are back live with you tonight. And, of course, none of this could be possible without my dear brother, my right hand, and plus our gracious host tonight, Brother Kareem Muhammad out of St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum once again, dear brother, and how are you?
Wa alaikum salam, and I am indeed fine. By Allah's permission, all praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir, and we have Sister Melissa out of Tampa, Florida with us too, Brother Kareem. She is on the line.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, assalamu alaikum, Sister Melissa.
Melissa, can you hear us? Well, her mic is open. Melissa, can you hear us? She might be on mute. If you're on mute, take your phone off. Well, she's there. Okay, well, maybe take over or something.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, as I, great.
No, go ahead, Brother Kareem.
No, as I had shared with you, last week, was it earlier this week? I can't remember. That was last week. You know, my computer died, and I haven't had a chance to get one, so I can't see what's going on.
Okay.
But hopefully we'll get our sister in very, very soon. Tonight, our topic is From Prayer to Reality. And I will also say this before I get going. Individuals that I did contact and invite, you know that if you're on the line, if you would please press 1 on your dial pad now so you can join the panel, so we can get this vital discussion going. But as always, I must open in the name of Allah. And as Queen Azizah has opened in the name of Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, there's no need for me to be redundant. And that's the thing. Once we open something, once it's been said, not that a person can't say it, but once it's been said, we don't have to keep saying it over and over again, because we have indeed invoked the name of the God, the one represented to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The energy is already flowing and we can move forward. Again, our topic is From Prayer to Reality. And where this topic comes from is the fact that many, many, many people pray. But it's come to my attention that out of all these prayers from the people I've talked to concerning this over the weekend, that the things that they pray about and they pray for, they're various things, but the bottom line is that the consensus I'm getting from people is that they firmly believe that 90% of what they pray for, their prayers aren't answered. And the thing is, well, why? Because God himself indeed says that he answers prayer. So we're going to start, as always, from a scriptural basis, going to the Holy Quran Sharif, the Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. We're going to start in Surah or Chapter 2, entitled Al-Baqarah, or the cow or the heifer, depending upon the translation you have. You want to go to Surah 2, Ayat or Verse 186. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Allah states, and when my servants ask thee concerning me, surely I am nigh. I answer the prayer of the suppliant when he calls on me, so they should hear my call and believe in me, that they may walk in the right way. Next, we want to go to Surah or Chapter 3, entitled Al-Imran, the family of Imran, and it's Ayat or verse 195, wherein Allah states, so their Lord accepted their prayer, saying, I will not suffer the work of any worker among you to be lost, whether male or female, the one of you being from the other. So those who fled and were driven forth from their homes and persecuted in my way, and who fought and were slain, I shall truly remove their evil and make them enter gardens wherein flow rivers, a reward from Allah, and with Allah is the best reward. And finally, from the Holy Quran Sharif, Surah or Chapter 107, entitled Al-Khmaun, Acts of Kindness. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, hast thou seen him who belies religion? That it is one who is, that is the one who is rough to the orphan and urges not the feeding of the needy. So woe to the praying ones who are unmindful of their prayer. Pardon me, Sadakallah. Who do good to be seen and refrain from acts of kindness. So that Allah speaks the truth. And then we want to go to the Bible, the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 23 through 24, wherein it states, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Queen
Aziza. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Do we have Sister Melissa yet?
I think her phone dropped, but I'm trying to get her back on.
Yes, ma'am. And So far, no on the line.
Not yet. But if you are calling on the panel, please press 1 on your dial pad. Please tell me, Brother. Oh, okay.
Brother Guys and Brother Eddie.
Well, I don't see Brother Eddie's number, no.
Right.
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah.
A lot of chatters, and I'm here with my big mouth, so.
Well, I'm going. No, I wouldn't say you have a big mouth. I say you have a well-informed mind, and you are able to communicate that which you have been informed with.
Oh, praise you so much.
Yes, ma'am. So since it is you and I, and I'm going to get into some explanation, I'm going to ask you this question. From your understanding, from your view, what is prayer?
Well, you know, to me, Brother Kareem, prayer is very intimate and very personal. To me, it is a very sacred and personal relationship, I mean, conversation with Allah. You know, that is... How can I put it? that is one of the most sacred moments that you can have in life, because you go through the ablution, which not only cleanses your body, but it also cleanses your mind to align yourself with Allah and to have, you know, righteous prayers. It's, you know, you can pray for anything. You know, you can pray for evil doing, but it puts us in the mind to align ourselves with Allah and just become righteous in our spirit, and that will project forward in our thinking, and then that projects forward in our actions, and then faith is what makes prayer successful, believing that Allah will fulfill his word. So that's the short of it, Brother Cody, for me.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And I mean, I agree with you that prayer, you know, as we understand it, is a personal and private thing. However, you know, we as Muslims, and then even among others, there are times when you pray together in what, as Muslims, we call it congregational prayer. But there are times when the body or a group of individuals come together to pray together, you know. And the thing is, I think that the majority of individuals have confined what they consider to be prayer to just those times, either the private session or the congregational, and that, pardon me, most people believe, think of prayer as just those words that you say. They don't understand, like we did a show, it's been over a year now, on that, the science of prayer. We did that show. Anybody, if you get a chance, go back and check that one out, because we're in depth with that. But the thing is that, like I said, I agree with you as to your answer to what prayer is. I want to share something, pardon me. This comes from, pardon me, a book entitled The Book of Sufi Healing. It's a book you can pick up. It's written or produced by Sheikh Hakim Muaddin Chisti. It has a lot of good information in it. But what I wanted to share from it here in particular is where how as to how it relates to what we call Salat. In here it states, the word Salat in Arabic is translated as prayer or worship, and also supplications for forgiveness, compassion, and mercy. Western scholars have unfortunately misrepresented the true conception of Salat by translating the word simply as prayer or worship. In fact, the practice of Salat is very specific and forms the most unique and central feature of religious life in Islam and Sufism. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is reported to have said, the difference between a believer in God and a disbeliever in him is the performance of Salat. It goes on to say, and you know that when we perform Salat, or as Muslims, we pray five times a day as a minimum. However, there are specified times that you are required to pray. Now, herein, it gives you a brief description of why this is so. By following these prayer times, one is perfectly attuned to the motions of the planets, seasonal changes, and geographic variations. In so doing, one becomes harmonized with all of the natural cycles of the universe. There are three aspects to Salat: thought, word, and action. So then that also goes for prayer, quote unquote. Before beginning the Salat, one must clean oneself of any physical dirt on the body or clothing or on the place where one intends to pray. At this same time, One must drive out all negative or evil thoughts and cleanse the mind to concentrate fully upon the glory of Allah the Almighty. Just as you said, Queen Aziza, I mean, and it bears witness to what you're saying. Because when we enter into, as you said, when we enter into prayer, understanding how it works, the science of it, that's why it's vital that we understand that we have to be in the right state of mind when we pray. We have to approach prayer humbly. We have to approach prayer clean. Our topic, again, is from prayer to reality. And why do I say that? Simply because, again, when the majority of us think of prayer, we're saying words or we're projecting thoughts of things the majority of the time that we desire, things that we want to bring into our life or we want to produce. So the actual production of that, the actual achieving of that desire or goal is the reality. However, the sincerity of the individual making the prayer and the level of cleanliness, both physical and mental or spiritual, if you will, have a direct result on how whether we produce in our life that which we are praying for. Now, prayer, or the word prayer, is defined as an address or petition to God or a God in word or thought, a set order of words used in praying, an earnest request or wish, something prayed for, from the Latin precaria, from the Latin obtenir, to obtain. Now, we discussed, like I said in our previous show, in the science of prayer, we discussed the fact that prayer is simply that. That's concentrated thought. It's thought. It's a desire backed by emotion directed toward a particular goal or object. That is what prayer is. That's what it's designed to do. Now, since, as it says, that prayer is directed thought, we have to understand, and we are taught that thought is the cause of all things. We are also taught that thought travels at the rate of 24 billion miles per second. As a matter of fact, the exact quote is this. It says, the uncle of Mr. W.D. Farad lives in the wilderness of North America, surrounded and robbed completely by the caveman. Therefore, he has no knowledge of his own nor anyone else's. But his mind travels 24 billion miles per second, which is considered the average speed of thought per second. If the average speed of thought per second is 24 billion miles per second, then what you have here is energy which leaves from our minds, from our person, if you will, traveling at 24 billion miles per second around the planet. That means that in 1 second, it travels around the planet 964,011 times. That's in 1 second, whatever thought we have. Now, the thing is that on that level, thought or spiritual level, like attracts like. So when this energy goes out, be it positive or negative, be it a positive thought or a negative thought, it travels at 24 billion miles per second around the planet, collecting like energy, and it does that each second 964,011 times and then returns to our person, in essence energizing us, in essence drawing to us that thing which we are focusing on or concentrating on or which we keep uppermost in our thoughts. So in essence, we are being given the power and the ability to bring into existence that which we desire. So, Queen Aziza, still no one has joined us yet?
Yes, sir. You have Sister Melissa and Brother Eddie on the phone.
All praises due to Allah, because, you know, I don't really like to run my mouth too much, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, so, assalamu alaikum, Sister Melissa.
Alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. I'm so glad to have you with us. I can definitely hear you now. And if you would, present yourself just briefly to our listening audience.
Hello, this is Sister Melissa. I'm here in Tampa, Florida. I was born and raised up, like I was telling Sister Aziza before, as a Christian in church and everything. And I always, my mom always told us, you know, to believe in God. And like I tell everyone, God is in me all day, every day, through prayers. And when she was presenting to me about prayers in reality, that's true, because by praying, everything is real. You can't see nothing until you pray, and you got to believe while you're praying. And there's going to be a lot of tests that comes upon us here on earth. And if we don't go through nothing, then we won't be able to tell a story. And that is part of our testimony. But I'm just glad that I have the opportunity to listen in and also speak upon anything that that you want me to hear on this radio station. And I just thank God, Allah, for all of us being here presently and listening in. And you're doing such a wonderful job, Brother Kareem.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you very much. We are very happy to have you, and I'm definitely looking forward to your input because, again, this is how we grow. This is how we learn. So I'm going to – yes, ma'am. And Brother Eddie, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
How you feeling, Black?
I'm feeling good. Forgive me for being on late. I was coming in from FOI class, so – I'm just getting home.
Well, yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. That's not a – you have nothing to apologize for, brother. I mean, why would you apologize for performing your duty?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Like I said, we've discussed it before. See, so many people are so concerned with, I got to be on time. No, that's this world's thinking. They always want you to be on time.
The key
for us is to be in time. If we're in time, then as far as that being on time, we're going to always be on time because we're moving in the way that God desires for us to move.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, since I have you both here, I'm going to start with Sister Melissa, and I'm going to repeat the first question. The first question is, what is prayer in your view?
In my view, prayer, just as I came in and channeled in a little bit of time then, I'm sorry, on the phone, it has a lot to do with energy within yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, God is within all of us, and that's how I see it. And there's a lot of times in this world that the brother came on and he said that he came in late and stuff, things does happen at certain times, not the time you plan it, but the time that our God plans for everything to happen. And all I do, I can want something so bad, and not just material things, because that's not what it's all about, but it still can be whatever it is on this earth. I'll just pray for it, but it has to be through positive energy that I pray and I say, you know what, I'll just claim something, and it'll happen. Just to say, a couple of weeks ago, I just, out of faith, I say, you know what? I'm going to leave my job and go to another job. And everybody thought I was playing at work. I say, let me tell you something. I'm going to show you the works that God has for me. He never left me nor forsaken me. And those true words, because anytime I need anything, not want, anytime I need anything, he's always on time. So I went on ahead and I said, well, Lord, just take care of me. Next thing you know, I went on out and I talked to the lady at the job and I say, well, my career has changed. And she was like, really? I said, I have a career change. Didn't have one really at plan. The man came up to me at my kids' Boys and Girls Club, and next thing you know, he said, we need you to come back here with us. You spent 10 years with us. Out of nowhere, he was like, I need you to come back. I'm like, are you sure? He was like, yes. So last week, he printed out the paperwork, and then today I did orientation, and they already have me there. And I've been out of work almost like a week and a half, going on 2 weeks, but within this Wednesday, I'll be working. So that's why I tell people sometimes you got to test things, not saying that just leave your jobs and have, you know, your bills and stuff need to be paid for and everything. No. Sometimes when you have things set up, because my bills are all paid up to August, praise to God, Allah. The thing about it is I just sometimes take chances and just try to see what happened and test my own faith at times. And I tell the world, do that sometimes, certain times, and see, it happens every time for me. So I just tell the world, just have a lot of faith, keep believing, keep praying, and it will become reality across the lands, across the world. You have to have that faith. If you don't have that faith, it's not worth nothing because you're doubting. You're doubting God Allah. So I just tell everyone on here, I thank you again for the opportunity. You keep on believing and keep praying and keep being real, because all I tell everybody, real don't change. Real stays the same. If it changes, something not right. Real going to continue to stay the same.
That's right. That's right.
Man.
Thank you. All right, Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Same question to you, brother. In your view, what is prayer?
I guess I'll give it as plainly as I can, seeing that I've been using it a lot lately. Now, you talked about, brother, our obligatory 5 prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, talk about how it tunes us into really the universe. And we know on our flag is dawn, the sun, moon, and stars, which is what Allah has given us. Sun, moon, and stars is our fight song, is as we know the words. But I hope we all know the words to that.
Yes, sir.
But that obligatory 5, when we do our best to make them and make them up when we miss them, tests our obedience to him. And like the Savior's letter, it tests our willingness to submit and give up ourselves to do something that we may feel is inconvenient. That we, even if we cannot say our rakahs 3 or 4, depending on what we are doing, that we stop and give a prayer to make up for what we are obligated to do. But prayer, to me, in my experience, is when you're going out to do a work or you want to make something happen, it is an attuning to you and your mind to be in the will, to be in line with the will and mind of God. Because nothing that we do we want it to be in opposition to his will, lest it not be successful. So when I am doing things, I ask, as we say, call on the God. I'm asking for his help that what I want, what I need is in his will, and that he granted, as Sister says, but he will grant it in his own good time. So my life is a testament, especially this last month, to asking for Allah's sincere help and him granting it, not when you expect it. He almost never does a thing when you expect it, because our expectation is based upon our limited logic or our limited understanding. I was talking to a brother today, a good friend of mine, who was going through a very bad divorce. He's not in the nation. He is just a friend of mine, but he's outside. And was talking to him about how, through my experience and I am experiencing, Allah always takes you all the way to the limit of how strong you are and pulls you back. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if it was not for our prayer, and the Quran said, if it was not for our prayer, Allah would not even think of us.
That's right.
So that prayer is something keeps you humble, but keeps God on your mind, that you may be on his mind, that as you're struggling and working to bring back balance, and I wish I had that study guide to reference, but as you're struggling to bring balance, prayer is what helps keep you patient and remembering that Allah is there helping you if you would but have faith. Like Job. I'm sure Job prayed a lot.
What did you book?
With what he was going through, you know, and as I, in my struggles and trials this past couple of months or so, I think about Job and how he must have prayed that no matter what happened to him, he would not curse God. So, like Job, like Minister Farrakhan, who has gone through immense struggle, like believers who established Islam in the first, and those of us struggling today, I pray with them, and I pray like them in my life to say, Allah, help me and let my will be in line with your will, that whatever trial you have me go through, that I go through it and be in your bosom. So to me, that's what prayer is.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, brother. Excellent. Excellent. And on the points you just made, but particularly something that our dear Sister Melissa said when she first came in, like she said, she repeated it, and it's vital for us to understand that God lives in us. See, again, that's why it's so important to understand what or how do we translate what we're praying for into reality. Because now, I mean, let's look at this. If I get on my knees and pray, okay, or I stand and pray, or I mean, you know, I can be very, very sincere. You know, and the question has been asked of me, and of course I've explained it to individuals just as we're discussing it now. And if the question they've asked me is, well, if God lives in us, then who are we praying to? Ourselves? You know. And I have to take to them, well, that's a good question. Now, I'll be very honest. Some of the individuals that asked me that question, they are looking for a way to absolve themselves of the obligation, because it is an obligation, of submitting their will to do the will of God. We have to understand what that means. When Jesus said in the Bible, the disciples came to him asking him about the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus made the statement. He said, well, the kingdom of heaven is within you. In another place in the Bible, he states and says, this, meaning the body, is the temple of the living God. So when an individual asks a question like that, It's a legitimate question. It's just that we have to understand the statements that are made. We also have to understand that there are some things which we call spiritual principles that no matter how many words I put in, you or me, if I don't have it yet, nobody can explain it to me. Some levels of spiritual principles you don't get until you experience it. As a matter of fact, if you keep attempting to explain it, it's going to sound confusing and contradictory because, again, it is something that must be experienced. It's not something that can be told. You know, I know we used to have a thing about the game, but I'm not going to get into that. However, that is key, what both of you have said about prayer. And that's why I was sharing about the science of it, the particulars of it, of how it works. And before we go to our next question, Queen Aziza, are there any comments or questions, phone, chat room?
We have an influx of calls, so let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are calling by phone, please press 1 on your dial pad. And we do have some questions in the chat room, Brother Kareem. The first question is from Jasmine. She said, as a Muslim, what is the proper way to pray for your personal troubles?
For your personal troubles. All praise is due to Allah. Well, since I do have panelists on, Brother Eddie, I would like you to field that question first.
Yes, sir. That's a very relative question. Jesus said, whatever you ask, ask of it in my name, and it shall be granted unto you. It doesn't mean just say Jesus or in Jesus' name, or as we may say in the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or in the name of Allah, please Allah, in the name of your Christ. It doesn't necessarily mean to say the name. As we're taught, the name represents a knowledge, a function, or a mind. Let this mind be in you, the same that was in Christ Jesus. So what we ask for must be in line with the good and right principles that Almighty God sets down for us. So I'm pretty sure if you ask God to please help me get this fifth brown, I don't think that he will step in. Though the Quran does say that if you choose evil, he will send you a devil to guide you or help you. Because Allah gives every soul that which they please. But it is best that whatever we ask always for God's help. Because he came to give us money, good homes, friendships, and all walks of life. He came to give us and save us and grant us the good things. So it is good to ask for things. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said it this way, though. In the speech, fear, faith, and truth. You don't have to take it. You can purchase it from a call store, and they do have it posted on YouTube. It's called Fear, Faith, and Truth. And toward the end of that lecture, he said, whatever it is that you want in life, imagine it. It could be a truck, it could be a car, whatever it is, just imagine it. Put the thought in your mind. Ask Allah to help you, and then go to work. We pray to ask Allah to buttress our efforts, but then we bear the burden of going to work on our ideas. As it's been said in this conversation, that God is within you, and he is. So you call on him to help you, but you also call on the power that God put in you. And when we have troubles, seek his guidance and his word through his prophets and messengers and the man in our midst today. And by that, find the answer to your troubles. you know, there was a point that was important and it slips me. Perhaps it's for another time or another person to give it. But do that. You know, when you're in pain, ask him to help you. There's no one can tell you how to ask it. So that's your personal conversation with him. None of us can give you any magic words to say. But in your heart, be honest. Ask for him in the best and right way. And be faithful. Be dutiful. Don't ask him to solve the problems. Us ask him to solve our problems, but we do nothing to be dutiful or to do his will. We also have to make ourselves worthy of his help by not being so grubby with prayer. So all of those things, I think, help us in asking God to help us and help me with the things that we suffer through. I'll leave it there.
All praise is due to Allah. And Sister Melissa.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I want you to weigh in on the sister's question also.
No problem. Personally, I would recommend for the sister to not just pray when you have any problems or anything occur. You got to pray all the time. And by praying all the time, you're building a relationship up with God, because this is your strength right now that we're talking about. Because if you're just praying, oh, okay, every time something negative happens, oh, I want to run to God. I want to pray to him and this and other. You have to learn to pray in the greatness of your time, even when you're at your lowest, the rock bottom of your life, excuse me. And you just want to continue, like I said, to build that relationship up with him. I was looking at Psalms, and I was thinking about a passage my mom used to read to us, Psalms 23rd. And one point in there, it was, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You got to think about that thing right there. Sitting at a table with all your enemies, anybody, backstabbers, killers, murderers, you name it, et cetera, they're sitting at that table with you. Now, you got that food in front of you. Now, they prepared this food for you. Now, you have God Allah standing there saying, go ahead and eat that food. You got to trust me. You're not going to die. Just trust me. And you looking around like, I don't know, they looking at me, and they about to, you know, I know they want to kill me. Should I do this or not? And then with all things, you look around and you say, you know what? For once, I'm going to believe, and I'm going to just go ahead and take it for what it's worth, and I'm going to eat this food. And then you go ahead, and then at the end of the day, guess what? You're still alive. And you will not, again, be able to know that prayer does work. You got to put yourself out there. You got to take those chances, but you got to build that relationship up with God Allah, because if you do not, He will show you. Now I'm a witness that I done read books and stuff, and I can't quote everything in the Bible all the time, you know. And I got to, you know, get myself up on my studies, like when I was younger. But at times that the life I live and I see a lot, I know it's no question of a doubt that it's not no God Allah living here on this earth. I am living proof. I done been through a lot of changes and everything. So you got to think about that thing. What if when you was a child, I mean, you didn't even have to be here. You could have been a stillborn baby. Anything could have happened, but it is a purpose for you to be here. And you got to believe. You got to keep prayer alive. You got to keep praying through your greatness again, through your bad times. And just, you know, be strong and don't be afraid. And I'm glad the young lady asked the question. That's what we need. You need to ask these questions so you will know. But just keep studying and just believing. And that's it that I had to add to that to elaborate on that information.
Well, praise is due to Allah. Ma'am, thank you. And both excellent answers, excellent guidance. I'm going to just share this on that question, and we're going to move forward. My dear sister, if you will go to your message to the black man on page 152 in the section entitled Prayer Service, right at the top of the page, it states, it says, O Allah, I seek thy refuge from anxiety and grief, and I seek thy refuge from lack of strength and laziness, and I seek thy refuge from cowardice and niggardliness, and I seek thy refuge from being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. O Allah, suffice thou me with that which is lawful, to keep me away from that which is prohibited, and with thy grace make me free from want of what is beside thee. And when I was little and coming up, my mother also gave me this part to it. O Allah, accept my prayer. O Allah, accept the prayers of my parents and all the believers when their judgment is held. Make my children steadfast in prayer, I mean. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states this. He says, we the lost found should repeat the above prayer 7 times a day, for it sums up our greatest hindrance to freedom and self-independence. We must get away from the idea of depending on others to do for us what we can do for self. He goes on and says other things, but I just wanted to share that with you in agreement with what my brother and my sister have said in answer to your question. And I pray to Allah that we've given you something that you can use in a practical manner in your life. Queen Aziza, next question.
Yes, sir. We have a question from Brother James. He says, do you think God loves us and answers our prayers when we are in our addiction?
I can answer that question personally. Absolutely, he does. That is the term that is called grace. That's when we are under, particularly then, or in those situations, when we are out of God's favor. And like I said, I can answer that question in particular from personal experience. When we are out of God's favor, anytime we are imagine when he says in our addiction, he's talking about to drugs. And he's talking about addiction in a negative sense. But that's, I'm not going to get deep into that because that's for another show. Because there is a positive side to addiction. Everything has a positive and a negative. We have to understand it. But absolutely he does. That's what the grace is. Grace is described or defined as undeserved mercy. See, God or Allah is called the oft-returning to mercy. In the Bible, there's a conversation that goes on again with Jesus and the disciples, and they ask, if my brother offend me, how often should I forgive him? And they say 7 times. Jesus said, I say 70 times 7, meaning it's unceasing. That doesn't mean that you turn around and continue. You don't make yourself out of a fool and allow yourself to be abused. Let's not get it twisted. However, it is not for us to condemn individuals, but like I say, out of my personal experience, back before Allah freed me from, and I'm putting it in quotes, my addiction, okay, even during that time when I called on him sincerely and sometimes when I didn't call on him, he answered my unspoken prayer. There were many times that he protected me from myself. So absolutely, he will answer because that's his desire for us, is for us to be free. But as Brother Eddie was just saying, the thing is though, we can't just say some things out of our mouth, or as Sister Melissa was just saying, you know, we can't just wait until we in dire straits. We in pain. We suffering from something. Everybody prays then. Even the atheist prays then. We have to build up a bank account, if you will, with God by praying unceasingly. And if anybody else wanted to weigh in on that, you're very welcome to. If not, we'll take the next question.
Okay, we have a question from Mary. She says, so what about when you are in times of trouble and the Christians and are their prayers unheard? Now, I don't know what basis she's coming from. She says, so what about when you are in times of trouble and the Christians, are their prayers unheard? I don't know. Maybe she's just comparing it to Muslim prayers. I don't know what she means by asking the question in that manner.
Can you repeat that, Sister Aziz? I'm sorry. I didn't quite understand. Or maybe not.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of two parts. She says, so what about when you are in times of trouble? And then she says, and the Christians, are their prayers unheard? And maybe she's, let me ask. Oh, okay, she's typing.
Okay. Yeah, we get some clarity. Right.
She said you mentioned Salat, and she's saying Christians don't do Salat. So she said, are there prayers?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interject. I understand what she's saying now.
Right, exactly. And, well, you go ahead, Brother Eddie, if you want to weigh in on that. I'll hold what I'm going to say until you finish.
There is, and perhaps there's something in the Quran that helps. I'd like to read it personally, but I guess I'll quote it. Can someone else go while I find this? Because I'd rather read it word for word. It's something in the Quran that I know what it is. Nobody minds if I just give it a...
Go ahead and paraphrase it, brother. I mean, that's not a problem. I mean, as long as we get the gist of what you're saying.
Well, the Quran, Abraham, two things. First, Abraham asked that Allah show him and his sons their way of devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is that the Quran says, and the Jews and the Christians and the Sabians, for them is their reward with their Lord, or with Allah. In the course of this conversation, as we are predominantly Muslim, actively involved in this conversation, we go by the title of Muslim, which all who submit their will to do the will of Allah, fall under that definition, whether you claim those seven letters or not, or six letters. But because we're using the language of Allah, which is the proper name for God in our original language or our original tongue, it does not exclude. Remember Jesus said before, whatever ye ask in my name, it shall be granted unto you. You know, so if because you are saying you are a Christian, it does not make your prayer any less accepted. It doesn't make your prayer any less important. I don't think you can find anywhere in the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or in the exegesis of that by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan where he has ever said that because you are a Christian that your prayers will not be answered. So please don't be put off by that. What we are taught is the principles of freedom, justice, and equality, which all of the prophets taught. You see, we have our way of devotion, and you have yours. But it doesn't make you any less godly, because a Muslim can say prayers until there's an indention in his forehead, but it does not mean his prayer is anything more than religious, I want to say zealotry, but religious, what's the word I'm looking for? Putting on airs, I will say it that way. Anything more than that. So it's not the fact that we're saying it's a lot, but it's the principle of what we are saying. We follow the religion of Islam as given as a religion through Prophet Muhammad, but we know that Islam has been since the beginning of time, and Islam means peace. And those who are under Islam submit their will to do God's will. So, dear sister who is answering the question, I believe our point, if I may take the privilege to speak for us, is that we are no way saying that because you are a Christian and you pray a certain way, that Allah does not hear you. Because we do not have the power to answer or not answer your prayer. We don't. But I will say something that Minister Farrakhan said to us one Savior's Day about prayer. And he said that if you had Michael Jackson's phone number, wouldn't you want to make sure you had the right digits so that when you dial the number, you would get to him? So we want to make sure that when we're praying, figuratively speaking, we have the right phone number when we're calling God. I think I've answered the question as best that I can.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Thank you. And just in line with what you're saying and where we're at, again, our topic is from prayer to reality. Allah states in the Quran, and this is in Surah or Chapter 2, Ayat 62, he states, surely those who believe, and those who are Jews, and the Christians, and the Sabians, whoever believes in Allah in the last day and does good, they have their reward with their Lord, and there is no fear for them, nor shall they grieve. And at the top of the show, when we opened up with our scripture, again in the Quran, and this is in Surah or Chapter 3, Ayat 195, it states, so their Lord accepted their prayer, saying, I will not suffer the work of any worker among you to be lost, whether male or female, the one of you being from the other. So those who fled and were driven forth from their homes and persecuted in my way, and who fought and were slain, I shall truly remove their evil and make them into gardens wherein flow rivers, a reward from Allah, and with Allah is the best reward. But that philosophy, Allah speaks the truth. And so what we have to understand is that this is why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated that a good Christian is a Muslim, and a good Muslim is a Christian. So when we understand that to be Christian, not just to say it, but to be Christian means to be crystallized into oneness with the Father through the example of Jesus the Christ, or Christ Jesus. That's what being a Christian, when an individual is striving in that way and on that level, how could God not answer their prayer? But now, as Brother Eddie was just saying, when we talk about Salatsi, you're taking it to another level when you talk about Salat, because Salat has specific forms. And as a matter of fact, when you study that which is called Salat, you will find all of the positions given to the previous messengers or prophets contained in Salat. Each one of those positions was a position given to a people by a messenger for prayer. When we get to the level of Salat, we combine them all. and combine them all, and it actually has physical benefits as well as spiritual benefits. And I don't know about anyone else, but in all of the prayers that I've seen, at some point, everyone goes into the position of what's called sajda or sajada, you know, in that prostration with their forehead all the way down in total submission. So, yes. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Any more questions?
Yes, we have a question from Gwendolyn, and she wants to know, what about unanswered prayers? Oh, Lord, I can answer that one.
Well, then, if you want to go first, and then I'd like to hear from Sister Melissa on that also.
Wow. Well, what I can say about unanswered prayer, you know, we as Muslims have a, well, it's not just a saying, but it's the actual fact that Allah is the best of planners. And so when it comes to the knowledge and wisdom of God, we are so shallow and so dumb, deaf, dumb, and blind to the truth. So a lot of things that we pray for that may appear to be unanswered is because Allah has a different plan for you. We, as grown as we think we may be, we oftentimes don't know what is best for us. And I think many people can bear witness to saying, I pray for this, or I pray for that man, or I pray for that woman, or I pray for whatever it was, and for some reason it didn't come into fruition, and it was probably because it was not the best thing for you. And oftentimes we can later look down the road and say, wow, I'm glad, you know, that prayer was unheard or wasn't answered, because look at how that situation turned out. So it's not that Allah God forgets us, but that he knows what is best for us when we don't know what's best for ourselves. So I don't believe that there are unanswered prayers. I just believe that sometimes we are not in the best mindset to know what is best for us, but Allah always does. So those things that don't come to pass when we say a prayer, it's probably because he knows what is best. And if you keep the faith and you keep up prayer and you ask for understanding, you know, a lot of times people ask for things, they ask for peace, they ask for some relief of any anguish, anxiety, or whatever it may be. But the key is to ask for understanding, because once you understand the situation, then you can deal with it. But when you don't understand something, it seems all so confusing, and you may feel that God has abandoned you. So ask for understanding of God's way, of God's intention, of God's desire for us, and then that will help you to understand, you know, your roadmap in life and the direction in which God intends for you to go. Oh, that's all I wanted to say, Brother Kareem, and thank you.
All praise due to Allah. Thank you.
Allah.
Thank you. Sister Melissa.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I got to have you weigh in on this.
Yes, no problem. Unanswered prayers. I just want to elaborate on this here. A lot of people like ourselves, and I'm not judging, we're speak on a personal note that I had to learn. We're very impatient. Again, it's not on our time when, you know, unanswered prayers. We want our blessings. We want a lot of times when you say to yourself, well, I pray a lot, or I go to my church, I'm obedient, I live right. I'm talking. I'm teaching. I mean, you can exhaust yourself out of a lot of things and say, I'm doing this. And you'll look over across the street, and you will see somebody, you know, they're probably not living right, or they're living in sin, and then you're seeing them with all these blessings. You're wondering, why did everything come so easy to them? Every time I turn around, they're in a new car, house, you name it. They look like they're having a great life. It's just so perfect. That's the perspective that you have. You're looking across and you're thinking everything is all good. But you really don't understand and don't know. One thing I have experienced, and just imagine with me a little bit here. Say you're walking around a track, track and field. You're walking around that track. And we're going to say that I'm going to use the devil for this instant here. If the devil walking on the side of me and I'm walking on the track, we side by side of each other. I can look over and see him, but guess what? We walking together. We're going the same way. So I'm not going to run into him. It's no possible way because we're going down the same path. But if he's coming around the track the opposite way, and I'm coming the opposite way, and we're in that same lane, we walking, and we're going to run into each other because we're going that, we're going different directions. And just to broaden your horizon on that, say I'm here in Florida, okay, and the devil and God Allah, they're up in New York. And God is saying, come on and receive your blessings. Come on and receive your blessings. And I'm driving. I'm going around these mountains or whatever to get there. Car pull out, traffic in the way. All of these obstacles are being set up in our life. Now, once you get past that, you will see your blessing. So right now you're in a transitional stage right now where everything is coming through your path. You're trying to look. You're trying to get there. But you got to be patient, and you got to keep believing. You got to talk to yourself a lot of times and say, I can do this. I can do it. And then you fall on your knees or whatever you want to pray and say, God, Allah, please help me. Come send me some help. But it's about patience. Your time is coming, and your time is near. You just have to wait on him. He's going to tell you when to move. He's not going to tell you to move on the same note as the other person. You're going to be on the same note for yourself, where he gives you your timing. You just have to recognize it. And again, it goes back to building that relationship with him and learning. And when he tells you it's your time, you can't be afraid. You got to step out on faith and just become as one with him. And he will lead you and he will guide you. And I am a witness of that. And that's what I had to add to that information. Thank you so much for your time and listening to me.
Thank you, Sister Melissa. All praise is due to Allah. All right, before we move on, it's that time. I got to pay some bills. This is Conscious Black Nation here on the Nation Building Network. Conscious Black Nation is sponsored by Kareem's Construction. Beauty is in the hands of the builder. Room additions, remodeling, new construction, roofing, plumbing, electrical, handyman services, tile, concrete work. You can contact Kareem's Construction at 314-651-1094. Amin Holistic Health Center. The thought is the act. The act is the fact. At Amin Holistic Health Center, you can receive guidance in the following areas: better health through nutrition, success through faith and works, spiritual progress, conquering addiction, aromatherapy, herbology, never getting sick again. You can contact Amin Holistic Health Center at 314-616-2060. And the next time you're South St. Louis, stop by 2846 Cherokee Street and ask the proprietor to create me Master Pizza, at Master Pizza. That's right, 2846 Cherokee Street, phone number 314-899-9939. They have pizza by the slice. They also have whole pizza, 14-inch and 16-inch. They've got the signature veggie and any other kind of pizza you'd be looking for. They also have chicken wings and their own homemade fries. Master Pizza. And when you get through eating that Master Pizza and you want some dessert, don't get just any bean pie. Get the best bean pie made by our own brother Jeff X. He can be reached at 314-315-7833. The best bean pie. All right, now that we've done that, we're going to continue moving forward. Now, I have a question here, and I'm coming to you, Brother Eddie. You there?
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. And I'm going to go around the table with this one. When we are done praying, I mean, with, you know, with the ritual, you know, whatever ritual we practice, whether it's just, you know, putting our hands together, bowing our heads, saying a little prayer, or whether it's a lot or whatever. You touched on it briefly, but when we are done praying, what must we do to manifest what we prayed for?
Pray to Allah. Go to work. You know, I'll expound on it for respect to our time, but, you know, faith without works is dead. You know, prayer is a show of faith because you have faith that that which is unseen, as the Holy Quran says, we believe in the unseen, not the unseeable, but the unseen, that which no one is in our room listening to us. God is not necessarily standing up face to face and say, hey, all right, you finna pray, let me listen in. But it's our faith. But we have to go to work on what we just prayed for. You know, I couldn't pray for a 67 Chevy, which is favorite car in the world, and not go to work or get one and repair it and rebuild it. I couldn't do any of that. Just pray, because it's not going to just fall in my lap. You know, so anything that we pray for, I mean, without too many words to be said, we got to get up and do something to help bring it into reality. This is there from the beginning. You're also praying to Allah, God in you. You know, so we're not spooky. You know, as the enemy, through his teaching of Christianity, he has taught us to believe that, you know, we just pray for freedom, pray for liberty, all these things, and keep doing the same thing that the slave master had you doing. I won't bring you anything. We don't, the school is a lesson. Say, would you sit and wait for a mystery God bring you food? No, we won't. We don't, a mystery God means there is, if it's a mystery, I mean, there's nothing about it that you know. There's nothing that you can stand on. It is unknown. It is unknowable. It has no substance at all. But when I pray to a real, live, living God, I know that I can get up, I can go to work, and it will come true, and it will be by his permission and by my permission. So that prayer actually puts a large weight of responsibility on the person making the supplication. Because if you just pray and don't go to work, then you are telling God himself none of it suffices. You're saying that all that he gave you in the trillions of cells in your body and the billions of brain cells in your head, that all that he gave you has no power for you to bring into fruition anything that you want out of life. For us to sit and pray sits in the face of the great blessing and bounty that he put on the universe for us to suck from to create a reality for ourselves. So we have to go to work after our prayer. And I'll stop it.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Sister Melissa, same question.
Well, the brother, he basically took the words out of my mouth. But when I finished praying, I always pray with my kids. We pray together. I believe that you start at home, and I pray with my kids. I talk to them, ask them questions, get them great understanding on the knowledge that has taken place at that time. Also, I line myself up with my family. Jobs that I have entered in, I thank God Allah, they have allowed us to talk about God Allah, and we build great relationships up, and that's how I just surround myself around a positive atmosphere. And it's like a natural high for me to just be in the midst of God Allah and the people. And it can be someone on the outside that I run into, and they can be a non-believer, and we'll just go to talking, and then they will tell me their experiences, and I'll tell them my testimonies of what God has done for me. And then I speak on reality of things of life that I have went through experiences. I tell them from the good to the bad and how I'm still able to walk here on earth and have the greatness of faith. And it just lives with, not it, God Allah lives in me, and he shines through me everywhere I go. Everyone tells me this, and I hear it all the time. So I do greatly appreciate as being an example for him here on this earth. And thank y'all again for the opportunity for having me here on the radio stations to let the world know about my life experience. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Queen Aziza. I hear you taking care of business over there, but I also did want to get you to weigh in on that because you got some experience. And so, you know, again, like I said, I mean, you know, we pray. This is the example I use. I'm not disparaging anyone. I want to be clear about that. But this is where I've seen it at. I've seen individuals, particularly elderly people, elderly women, for example, and they come to the church and they fall on hard times. As a matter of fact, not just in the church, but, and it's sad to say it, it's the minds too. Individuals fall on some difficult times. Financially, that's what we're talking about. A bill needs to be paid, electric bill, gas bill, whatever it is. And individuals say, well, we're going to pray for sister, you know, so-and-so, that the Lord will answer her prayer. You know, that he'll make sure that this situation gets taken care of. Wait a minute. So, again, with that in mind, I'm asking you, once we're done praying, then what's the next step? What do we do?
Wow. Well, faith without works is dead. You know, I put it like this. We are God under the Most High God. So that prayer that we ask from Allah God is to give us the strength, the knowledge, and the wisdom, capability, understanding, whatever it is. Give us the tools to produce what it is that we need. When we are praying, you know, I don't want people who are not, you know, in the Islamic faith to be offended. But we just don't believe in spookism. You know, I've never had money drop out of the sky. You know, never had any material thing just fall from heaven. You know, it was all about going out and making it happen. But I had to pray for that roadmap, for that understanding, for that way of how to get things done, how to make things happen. And then I pray for the strength, you know, the strength and just the capability. You know, sanity is fragile. And sometimes in our lives, There can be so many things going on with us. Some of us can be sick. We can be burdened with financial problems. We can have children that are out of control. We can have dying parents. And all of this is going on at the same time. So just to pray for sanity, to pray to have the mind of God in the midst of it all, is a blessing, because that mind of God is what brings things into fruition. If you understand the creation of Allah, of himself, how he created himself out of triple darkness, it is that force and that power of the mind, that energy of the mind, that actually caused him to shape himself into fashion and bring himself forward. And so we, being God the Father, the Most High God, have that same capability if we would align ourselves with the God. So that's my answer, Brother Kareem. And thank you. Thank you for putting me on the spot.
Okay, now, do we have any other questions? Chat room, telephone?
Okay, we got some more calls. We got all these callers out here. No one's pressing one on the phone, okay? I hope the phones are working. So if you have a question, please press one on the phone. And then we have a question from Jack Four. And Jack, oh, Allah. Okay. Okay. Jack says, if you are praying and you're going to do the work, then why are you praying when all you have to do is go get it? Okay, well, I think I just answered that, and he did ask the question before I responded, so I don't know if that needs to be reiterated or what, Brother Kareem.
Well, I'm going to go into something that we discussed at the top of the program. And the thing is that we have to understand what is prayer and what the purpose of prayer is. Prayer is your conduit, or our conduit. I'm going to say it in this term. That is, it is our conduit by which we obtain the energy, the power, to be able to forward and manifest that which we desire. Like I said, for example, again, prayer is defined as an address or petition to God or a God in word or thought, a set order of words used in praying, an earnest request or wish. It says something prayed for, from the Latin Faceria, from the Latin obtener, to obtain. So when we understand, as my brother Eddie was saying, you know, we believe in the seen and the unseen. Well, the only reason things are unseen is because they haven't been manifested on this plane of existence. Let's put it that way. But they all start with a thought. They all come from the mind. Now, the mind operates, we're talking about energy, we're talking about thought. Now, thought travels at the rate of 24 billion miles per second, collecting like energy and then returning unto the source from which that thought came. Prayer, at its essence, is focused, concentrated thought with feeling and emotion behind it to give it more impetus. So that's why we pray, because when we go out here to just get it, see, I do that every day, we run into so many obstacles. We run into so many things that are designed in this world to keep us from achieving those goals, particularly when those goals are ones of independence. We pray because one of the benefits of prayer, and this is not anything spooky, this is live and be proven that when we pray in the proper manner and we pray on a positive level, when we put that energy out there so it can collect like energy and returns to us, just like the earth itself has an atmosphere, we as human beings have an atmosphere around us. Some will call it the aura. Well, prayer energizes that energy field, that atmosphere, which in essence will do two things. One, if we keep it on a positive note, charge it with positive energy, positive thoughts, then anything of a negative nature, anything that can come to try to deter us or distract us is burned up when it comes into that atmosphere. And that atmosphere spreads 9 feet in all directions. You don't have to believe me. Just try it. Try it for yourself. The other thing that the prayer does is it also, that same energy, remember, on the spiritual or mental level, like attracts like. So when we keep putting that energy out into the atmosphere and it returns to us, it builds, it charges our spiritual battery, if you will. So that we now, not only are we working toward the goal, but we are actually attracting that which we desire. And I pray to Allah that was sufficient, as sufficient an answer, because there's a lot more to it. But we are, you know, we want to keep moving. We limited on that time.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, that was the last question for right now, Brother Kareem.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. All right. Now, I'm going to come to Sister Melissa first. And I want to ask Sister Melissa, is all prayer the same?
I would say yes. And the reason for me saying yes, because it doesn't matter the denomination that you're in, you're praying to that one God, Allah, at the end of the day, whether you're, you know, Chinese, black, white, purple, yellow, however, you are praying to that one God. And everybody are taught in many ways to, you know, in different ways in life to pray to that one God. So I would say yes.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Same question to you, sir. Is all prayer the same?
I would agree with her to say yes in the form which she said yes, but also agree in the fact that the form, I guess, the principle of prayer is the same, regardless of what you're necessarily praying for. Now, if it doesn't fall into the right form or principle of prayer, then I don't think we can necessarily call that prayer. We could just call it begging or some other thing if it's done in vanity or something like that. That's sacrilegious, but all true and sincere prayer, yes, is I would have to agree and say it's the same.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And I myself, I raised my hand. I agree too. Because when we understand the essence of what prayer is and its job and what it does, then it is, at its essence, it's the same. Well, that's one of the things that we have to reiterate and we have to understand is that we cannot continue to be divided by labels. We cannot continue to be divided by a quote-unquote denomination. We have to look at those things which are common to us. And the thing is that what we are here to share and learn tonight, hopefully by God's grace, is again how to take those prayers from just the ritual and to bring them into reality. Now, I want to, again, share something from the mighty book, Message to the Black Man. And you will find it, pardon me, on page 224 of the book, Message to the Black Man, in the section entitled Land of Our Own Qualification. And this particular chapter is entitled A House of Our Own. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, we cannot be successful in the house of our enemies. We should be in our own house. That which is other than our own is for those who are other than our own. Our own is unlimited, physically and spiritually. In the words of Richard Pryor, let me repeat that. Our own is unlimited, physically and spiritually. There are those who think that our lack of freedom, justice, and equality can be solved in the white man's crooked and corrupt politics. But these so-called leaders who think this political strategy will solve our problem are as far wrong as the distance from east to west. I have said many times that the solution to our problem is divine. There are so many who would just for self-praise or exaltation like to lead you astray under the false claim that they can solve the problem by ways other than divine. You should never listen to these leaders because they will lead you into the fisherman's net. Such leaders show no respect for Allah and his power to solve our problem of freeing us from our enemies and raising us into a state of independence like other independent nations. Independence to you is strange. You have given up the hope of ever being independent, but this is just what Allah God wants to do for you. Don't you think it is time after 400 years as servants to strangers, it is hopeless to think that these strangers will ever be other than what they now are to you. Please do not think that you can be conquered upon Allah. Pardon me. Please do not think that they can be conquered by brickbats, shotguns, a few arms or handmade bombs. It takes the forces of nature and the confusion of minds and thoughts, which are controlled by the power of Allah. Be wise and submit to Allah, who has the power to defend you and destroy your enemies who are too powerful for you. And I'm going to stop right there. The rest of it is very important. Get a copy, Message to the Black Man in America by Elijah Muhammad. Now, that having been said, again, our topic, from prayer to reality. And I'm going to ask you, Sister Melissa, what are some of the things, just give me some examples of things that we need, that we've been praying for as a people in this time that we pray for right now, even with our brother Obama in office. You know, we still have a lot of things we got to pray for. What are some of the things that we need to take from the realm of just talking about it or saying it out of our mouths and bring it in, go to work and bring it to reality?
Leadership, one of them. Mm-hmm. Being positive role models, having patience, just being real. I'm tired of the facades of everyone being so fake. Anybody can paint a picture or make up a story. It's one thing to say it, and it's one thing to do it. And reality to me is to do it. Do your works of what you say. Your life has to speak for you. And if I don't see you're doing the works of reality, I don't even believe in you at all. And I'm not trying to pinpoint it to anyone. I'm just saying, you know, broadly, your work has to speak for you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. Brother Eddie, same question.
Yes, sir. Repeat the question in detail for me, brother. I think I missed a word or so.
Well, the thing is, you know, we're doing all this praying. Okay, so the idea, what I want to know is, can you give me some examples of things that we are praying for? You know, the people, period, across the board, regardless of their faith expression, regardless of whether they're in the mosque, in the church, or just on the street. What are some of the things, the vital things that we need to take from the realm of prayer, you know, just performing the ritual, saying the words, and actually bring them into reality to manifest them?
Minister Farrakhan said that righteousness is being in accord with the modern and up-to-date will of God. And I think and I believe that the people want and need to know the will of God. The only problem is that Satan has usurped the position of God in the minds of the people. So we do and pray for Satan's will, truly believing that we are praying for and doing God's will. But I think it is the earnest need and want of the people to know God's will. And to know God's will, you have to know God's man, who is the voice of his will. So I believe that that is what the people want and need, is a true knowledge of God's will, so that as we pray, that we're not making the mistake of praying and supplicating in the matter of our enemy, Satan, the slave master's children. I'll answer it that way, brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And now, speaking of prayer, I know where this is. I don't know why it has taken me so long to find it. Maybe somebody can help me with it. The Lord's Prayer. I know it's in Matthew. For some reason, I just can't seem to come up on it. So
I know the Lord's Prayer.
I want to come from the text for a reason, because it goes back to us taking prayer from prayer to reality, and also being something that Brother Eddie said earlier. In other words, like you say, if you were going to call someone, he said Michael Jackson, but if you were going to call anyone, you want to make sure you got the right number. You know, you put in the right digits. So the same thing goes for prayer. We need to understand and accurately use the verbiage. Go ahead, brother.
It's Matthew chapter 6, 9 through whatever it goes to.
Oh, brother. Now I'm going to tell you something. If I was spooky, I'd be jumping up and down now, because right before you said that, I got the fan on and it turned the page. if I was spooky, but I'm not spooky.
Hey, so, you say, God speak to me in the winds, brother.
Talk to me now. Now, if you notice, I'm going to go up to the top of chapter 6 before I go to the Lord's Prayer, as it's called. Notice now, it said that all these words are in red. Now, according to what I've been told, these are, quote-unquote, the words of Jesus. Now notice how he starts this chapter. He says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men. That means your charity. We talked about it earlier when we read in the Quran, Surah 107, acts of kindness. Those who do these things just to be seen of men. He says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. So see, that's what it's talking about when it say, don't let the left hand know what the right hand doing. Don't mean if you married, don't let your wife know or don't let your husband know, or you got a business partner, oh, I'm going to get into this secret deal. It's talking about when you're doing righteous work. In other words, we don't do the right thing to be seen of another human being. We do it from the heart because it is of God and we want to please the creator of the heavens and the earth. Then he goes on to say that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, church, mosque, and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door. See, here comes that what Queen Aziza was saying at the top of the show about that private part of it. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not, here it is, vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Yes, yes. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So before I go on, I'm going to say this. So, you know, no, there's nothing wrong with praying for material things. There's nothing wrong with it. We can ask our Father, we can ask the Lord for anything that we desire. However, I know for myself, He's given me the intelligence and the skills to produce anything material that I may desire. What I have to pray for myself, I can't speak for anyone else, more than anything else, is to be grateful to him for what he has blessed me with, and then to continue to guide me so that I don't go off the path. So I don't become arrogant, so I don't become niggardly or stingy, so that I don't get to thinking I know it all. I mean, see, these are the things I have to pray for, that I remain in the correct mind and in the correct spirit, if you will, to serve Almighty God. Those are the things I have to pray for. And I want to move on now here. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Now, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to put you on the spot again.
Oh, no, you're not. Oh, okay. Yes, sir.
I'm letting you know this. Okay.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Now, would you repeat the Lord's Prayer for me, please?
I used to sing it. Let me remember the words. That's how I remember. I used to sing that song.
Sing it?
Our Father. I'm not going to sing it. which art in heaven, hallowed will be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt. Well, you know, some people say debts, and some people say, what is the other word? Trespasses.
Yes.
I learned, give us and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors.
Mm-hmm.
And lead us not into temptation. Oh, I messed up. I forgot. Wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. This is a shame. Okay.
We're on it.
Okay, and lead us not into temptation. I forgot the rest. I'm sorry. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the power.
Okay, but no, I mean, but that's no, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, now I know it. Yeah, if I sing it, I know it, because that's how I learned it, through a song.
Right, I understand. But thank you. I appreciate that, and you did a wonderful job. I'm, you know, we want to give you some applause. Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah.
Thine is the glory. For Alpha, Alpha, for Alpha, Alpha.
Yes. Now.
Well, you said, but lead us not into temptation.
Uh-huh.
I remember that part.
Right. But that's fine. Now, I am going to read text.
For thine is the power.
In the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to read the text. He states, says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. He says, our Father art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, now this is the text I'm reading, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, as you said. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you remember, if we remember and we notice, if you go to the front of the New Testament, right before Malachi, you know, there's a page there that people need to play particular, or right after Malachi, pardon me. There's a page there that people need to pay particular attention to. It states here, it says the New Testament. Oh, they got slick. They changed it. But that's all right. All right, because what we do is we go right to the front of it where it says the Holy Bible, Old and New Testament, authorized King James Version, translated out of the original tongues with the previous translations diligently compared and revised, self-pronouncing words of Christ in red, according to what they say. Now, we have to understand that when they did this, they changed some things. People may not want to accept it, but they did. They changed some things to suit them. For example, here where it states, and you notice, you'll hear most people will say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Because that's how it's taught. That's how it's quoted. However, according to the text, it says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Why does it say in earth as it is in heaven? Because it's going back to what we discussed at the very top of the show. And my sister Melissa, Brother Eddie also, but my sister Melissa hit the nail on the head that God lives within us. So when it says that it be done in earth as it is in heaven, God says that his ways are above our ways, meaning in the thinking of God, moving in the mind of God, moving in that righteous manner, moving in that righteous spirit. So the earth in which, in other words, as the core goes, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when our thinking is lined up with the creator of the heavens and the earth, when we are practicing the true, quote-unquote, religion, which is the golden rule, do unto others as we would have them do unto us, then when our mind is operating under God's guidance, then our body will automatically move in God's way, and his will be done in earth, in us, in this body we're walking around in, as it is in heaven, up top in our thinking, because our thinking will be aligned with the creator of the heavens and the earth. Now, you notice it goes on to say under that, it says, give us this day our daily bread. That, brothers and sisters, was changed. Originally, the word that they translated out came out of the what they call the Greek or the Latin, really, baram or bereth, which is breath. Because if you notice, it says, did it say, does it say in the Old Testament, I'm going to the Old Testament, does it say that God gave Adam some bread, fed him some bread, and he became a living soul? It says no. It says he breathed into him, and he became a living soul. Even in the Quran, it talks about the fact that it's the breath. It is that spirit, that power that comes from God. Jesus himself makes the statement and says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, if the word of God is proceeding out of the mouth, what is that word carried on? It's carried on the breath. So originally it was give us this day our daily breath, because he just told us right above that God knows what we need before we even think about what we need. But when Constantine and the others and King James and them were working on the scripture, the bottom line is just like the many of these, and I'm going to say it, many of these prosperity individuals, and regardless of what camp they're in, they got the people focused on money, on bread, on material things, as opposed to the word of God, and that breath, which is what really brings us life. And you notice here, yes, some say, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I believe I've seen that, might be in Mark. But here he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're told that, and it goes on to tell us that in the Bible, it also talks about it in the Quran, that how can we expect God to forgive us when we won't forgive others? And it gives us parables of that. So see, again, it's understanding what we have been given. He says, and lead us not into temptation. Well, I don't believe God would lead us into temptation. But what will lead me into temptation is my own deceptive intelligence. It says, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then right below that, to bear witness to what we were just talking about, it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we're talking about taking prayer from the level of just saying some words. We're talking about taking prayer. from just understanding it as the Lord's Prayer or even the seven oft-repeated phrases of the Muslims, Al-Fatiha, the opening. But getting beyond just saying those words, but internalizing those words and going forth, and as has been said, going to work to bring those things into reality, into fruition. Now, Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We're down to question number five, and you know I usually stop at five questions, you know, because you know you feed and then you got to give the people time to digest.
Yes, sir.
And I'm gonna come around the table with this. I'm coming to you first. Give an example of how you have turned a prayer into a reality.
Well, every day, I pray that one, my bills can stay paid. And I seem to be doing that pretty successfully. But two, I pray that Allah makes me successful in each of my endeavors. And I don't necessarily know how to make my prayer a reality, so I'll say it this way. I know I ask Allah to make me successful in my, I have a lot of things that I do, programs and activities, along with the nation, the prison ministry, and I run into a lot of difficulties. But one thing I've learned is that man is God. And if God answers your prayers, he always sends you a man. I heard that in a speech from Minister Farrakhan a long time ago, and I stuck with him. Whenever you need help, he always sends you someone. And so I've always learned to do my best to keep good relationships with people wherever I can in the best way that I can. And honestly, brother, every time this is, and this is on a daily basis almost, whenever I'm at a critical point where I need something, there's someone that I've known or someone that I've just met or someone who seems to have just what I need. I was working on Payne College campus. Some of you may be familiar with Payne College, an HBCU here out of Augusta, Georgia. And it's one of the premier HBCUs in Georgia. And I've been trying to successfully host or get hosted a program. I had not had any success getting with the administration, and there's a particular brother that I do business with, and he happened to be good friends with some of the administrative persons. Now, I had no in, but at the perfect time, at the perfect moment, that was there. You know, I had left one particular job, and time at a perfect moment, a brother showed up right when I was in the middle of a major project, and he had just the skill that I needed, because I knew a brother who I didn't know at the time, but he knew someone who helped me out. And my life has been a succession and a sequence of human beings with the right skill being there at the right time. So I know that Allah has answered my prayers every day, but I have had a hand in it by doing my best to keep good relationships with people and being useful to people so that Allah can use people to help me. The best way I know how to answer that question, brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And Sister Melissa.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. If you would please bless us with an example of how you have turned a prayer into reality.
Yes. I was going back in time when the brother was talking on the phone just now on the program. I know that I have turned my prayers into reality, and I'm still living it today. I used to pray because I came from a high-crime area neighborhood where my mom raised me and my three brothers that's older than me. And they used to, going to high school, I'm going back a little bit, then I'll bring it forth to now, everyone would tell me to not go to this high-crime school, go stay out to a predominantly white school, and I'll get higher and better education. I mean, they throw these dreams and everything to me. But see, my mom, no, raising me, I always did the opposite, but in a positive perspective. Again, I told you I put myself out in certain situations just to show proof of how God works in my life, to also be able to give testimonies to others. And I went to the opposite school, which was the high crime school, went there on special assignment, and I was an AB student. I did everything I had to do. I hold 7 records in the county that I went to, won state triple jump, 93. I did tremendously in school, and also I incorporated that as going through college and also giving back, going to the Boys and Girls Club, and today even seeing kids around me who I talk positive about, talk about God a lot, because Boys and Girls Club do allow that. I see them as their business kids, and they came from high-crime areas. A lot of them finished college. I have some girls I train. They're in the one of them going to WNBA, one of them in a couple of them in AAU, and just to pray for a positive life of living righteously. It pays off at the end, because now I have all these girls that looked up to me, and you have to be careful with the walks that you do walk here on earth. It's not like you raise your hand and say, oh, just follow me. No, this is something I had to instill within myself first, and by loving God and obeying God and living my life righteously. I had some bad days and things I did, and I had to repent on that. But at the same time, my greatness outweighed the bad things I did in life. So I just tell anyone, don't give up. Keep praying. Follow your dreams. Make your dreams into reality. And you never know who's looking up to you. And just look as a leadership for God. Look into it as a leadership for God. And be positive in any and everything you do. Again, I want to grant y'all gracefully for giving me this opportunity to speak out to everyone. And I am finished. This concludes my talking for tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you, Sister Melissa. And we're glad to have you here. And I'm going to let you know, as Queen Aziza always says, you can come on one time, but you can't just come on one time. So we'll look forward to having you back at some future date, please.
Appreciate it. And I accept the invitation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Queen Aziza. Yes. I'm coming to you. I want to know.
Wow. Well,
I have to be honest
with you. I have done nothing myself.
Yes, ma'am.
And every blessing that I've ever had was from Allah, and every negative experience that I've had was from my disobedience. So I can tell you that through my obedience, if I've done anything, I've strived to be obedient to the way of Allah as taught to me by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that obedience has been my success thus far. And not to say that I haven't had trials and tribulations and that I have gone untested. That is not the case. But what I can say that I've learned in 48 years is that if I hold true to my word, to take my Shahada and say, you know, I believe that Allah is God and that, you know, Muhammad is his messenger, and to obey the messenger is to obey Allah, that has been my success. And I know where my downfalls are. So if I've done anything at all, Brother Kareem, is I've strived to be as obedient as I possibly can, and Allah has done everything for me. I take no credit for nothing, none whatsoever. And it took me a long time, even after growing up in the nation, it took me a long time to truly, truly, honestly submit my will to do the will of Allah. And I'm still striving. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. So all praise is due to Allah. And that's my honest answer.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. I want to say this. I agree with you 100% that it is, that's that work that we do. After we pray, that's that work that we do. And that is how, in that sense, and the reason I ask that question is because when we understand the scripture wherein God himself says it. It's in the Quran in one word. It's in another place, a book called the Bhagavad Gita, where God himself states the fact that he is the doer. But when we are obedient and we strive to submit our will to do his will, he allows us to get the credit. I want to say that I pray to Allah that what we've shared tonight has been a benefit to those who have listened and participated. I want to thank the listening audience. I want to thank those in the chat room, those on the telephone. I want to thank, all praise is due to Allah, my beloved panelists, Sister Melissa out of Tampa, Florida, my brother, Brother Eddie, X, Soldier. And you're in Georgia, right, bro?
Yes, sir. Augusta, Georgia. Okay. A-U-G.
I just wanted to be sure. Oh, yeah, you down there in Jamestown, ain't you? Augusta,
yes, sir.
Yeah.
I grew up, I actually grew up a little way down the street from James Brown House, matter of fact.
Yes, sir. Praise to Allah. I want to thank you all, for joining us. Of course, I must thank Queen Aziza for once again giving me the opportunity to serve in this matter, in this manner, because truly, if we're not serving, then what's the point of us? But before we close out, Queen Aziza, I'd like to get the line up, if we may.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central, join us for disaster preparedness with Brother Rudolph and Sister Lachelle. On Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central, join us for DJ Black Seed Fans Friends, our hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, join me as I welcome back, of course, through the Minister Stanley Muhammad and his beautiful wife, Sister Queen Ruth Muhammad, and we will talk about the impact of Dianetics in your marriage. And on Friday, of course, through the Minister James will be here with our live study group as he talks about the family from the perspective of the children. And then on Saturday, of course, those of you who may not be aware, we have dedicated this entire summer, all the way through the end of September, to finding our missing black youth. And so that is a special three-hour broadcast on Friday where we will have members of the Hebrew Israelites, we will have members from the Black Panther Party, of course, we will have the Mighty FOI and the Mighty MGT there, and anybody else who wants to join on in this effort to help find our missing youth. So I encourage you to participate. This is not something that you can afford not to get involved in. It might have been someone else's child yesterday, but it could be your child tomorrow. So we all have to get involved in this, regardless of faith persuasions or any other persuasions. We have to be proactive in finding our missing youth. And so since most of our black youth come up missing during the summer months, we want to raise the awareness and encourage the men and the women to be more vigilant in their communities to save our children from the atrocities of them coming up missing, whether they're put into sex trafficking, whether they're kidnapped by a serial killer, a child sexual sadist, whatever the issue is. By us being vigilant in our community, by us being more aware and being able to obtain and use the tools to protect our children, we will be successful in not only bringing our children home, but, of course, preventing them from coming up missing. Prevention is the key, and inshallah, we will be blessed this summer to find some of those missing children. We are building a magnificent task force for this, and we want chapters in all of the states and cities across the nation. So it's a mighty, mighty work, but Allah has put it on my heart, and I am committed to getting it done. So that Saturday, 8 p.m. Central, please do not miss that broadcast, and please invite your friends and also invite your children so that they can listen, so they can learn how to protect themselves in the event they are approached by a stranger. And then, of course, on Sunday, we'll welcome Brother Jamil back. You know, he took a hiatus from the loss of his mother, but he guaranteed me he will be back this Sunday, which I think is Father's Day, if I'm not mistaken. And if I'm wrong, somebody correct me. But 6:30 p.m., Brother Jamil will be back with us with What Must Be Done. And, of course, next Monday, we'll be right back here with Brother Kareem at 8 o'clock p.m. Central. And, Brother Kareem, the topic will be?
The topic will be A Torchlight for America, Let Your Light Shine.
Uh-oh. Okay. I got to write this down. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you heard it from Brother Kareem. So that's our lineup for the week. I pray that all of you join us. Thank you, Brother Eddie. Thank you, Sister Melissa, my sister out of Tampa. This sister is a praying sister. She has such a beautiful spirit. We actually work together on Wednesdays with our women's group. And anybody interested in our women's group, please inbox me and I will give you the information. That is a conference call. It's not something that we do on the radio. But if you are a sister and you need just somebody to talk to, please inbox me and I will get you that information to our women's meeting on Wednesday. And that's the lineup, Brother Kareem. That's it.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, as always, the thought is the act. The act is the fact. We either participate or we all dissipate. We want to leave you as we came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Good night.